Good afternoon and welcome to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station. It's 11:59 and 19 seconds and time for the KMXT Midday News. Coming up on the Midday News, Kodiak's restaurant and bar industry has shrunk since last year. And how the rest of our business community is girding for Code Red. An update on the batch of vaccines that will be coming to Alaska next week. And a Bering Sea fishing boat tested nearly completely positive for COVID-19 among their 25-person crew. More about the search for two Haines residents missing after the massive landslide. Twenty-nine degrees here in Kodiak right now. We're looking for scattered snow showers for the rest of the day and overnight, mainly after 9 p.m. though. Mostly cloudy skies overnight with a low of about 28. South wind to 30 miles per hour. For tomorrow, look for mostly cloudy skies with a high near 36, west wind 10 to 15 miles per hour. And for Wednesday night, partly cloudy skies, a low of about 21, west wind to 15 miles per hour. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 29, west wind to 10 miles per hour, should become light and go to the northwest by Thursday afternoon. Mariners, we do have small craft advisories all around the island. South winds coming up to 25 knots.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Sang. More than 50 million people in the United States are or have been infected with coronavirus, according to Johns Hopkins University's most recent count. NPR's Windsor Johnston brings us the latest on the escalating numbers and the records they are shattering.
Public health officials warn the U.S. is in a very dangerous place because of the high number of cases and limited hospital capacity. According to Johns Hopkins University, the nation recorded more than 1.3 million new infections last week. The latest surge is largely being driven by holiday travel and indoor gatherings as the weather turns colder.
And with that, the urgency for a vaccine. Well, the FDA has released a detailed analysis of the COVID-19 vaccine made by Pfizer and BioNTech. NPR's Joe Palca has details.
The FDA analysis is based on data from a large study of the vaccine in some 44,000 volunteers. The agency saw no safety concerns in the data that would preclude making the vaccine available under what's known as an emergency use authorization. The vaccine did cause some side effects, most commonly pain at the injection site, but those were temporary. The vaccine was close to 95% effective when given as two doses. The independent expert committee will meet on Thursday and give its opinion to the FDA on whether to grant the authorization. Joe Palca, NPR News.
President Trump has signed an executive order that he says will ensure Americans have priority to the new COVID-19 vaccine over other countries. At a vaccine summit today, Trump praised the FDA's nearing approval of a vaccine.
If authorized, tens of millions of vaccine doses will be available this month, and we'll get it distributed very quickly. We have that all set, and hundreds of millions more will quickly follow. Every American who wants the vaccine will be able to get the vaccine.
Meanwhile, President-elect Biden has formally introduced his health team that'll help him spearhead the U.S. pandemic response starting next month. Biden will be meeting with civil rights groups as he faces pressure to increase the diversity of his nominees. More on this from NPR's Aisha Roscoe.
The National Urban League and other groups say they have not been consulted enough so far. Mark Morial, who leads the league, is keeping a close eye on how the Biden administration comes together.
It is about a significant number of black people in the cabinet. Let me just be clear. It is about representation at the table.
There have already been some black nominees for prominent positions, including Linda Thomas Greenfield for UN ambassador. Biden is also expected to nominate retired U.S. Army General Lloyd Austin for defense secretary. If confirmed, he would be the first African-American to hold the position. Aisha Roscoe, NPR News.
And Biden has written an op-ed published in The Atlantic that confirms his choice of retired General Austin for defense secretary. You're listening to NPR News.
Kodiak's restaurant and bar industry has shrunk considerably since last year. That's according to new employment data released by the Alaska Department of Labor. In 2019, Kodiak's 26 restaurants and bars employed 300 people, nearly 5% of Kodiak's workforce. But by the end of summer of 2020, only 200 people were employed in that business sector, a decrease of 33%. That loss of one-third of jobs is similar to the overall statewide decrease in an industry hit hard by the pandemic. In fact, according to the Department of Labor, no other industry has lost such a large share of jobs. And about one-third of Alaska bar and restaurant owners estimate they face a serious risk of closing permanently. The state predicts that the industry could take years to recover. However, Kodiak's overall unemployment rate remains one of the lowest in the state, at 4.5%. The Kodiak Emergency Operations Center has been notified of new positive COVID-19 test results within the Kodiak Island Borough. 63 new cases have been reported for the Kodiak Island Borough. One new case was tested on the 30th of November. Five new cases were tested on the 2nd of December. Six new cases were tested on the 3rd of December. Seven new cases were tested on the 4th. Eight cases were tested on the 5th. And one case was tested on the 6th. Of these, four were considered previously reported cases. This brings the case count associated with the Kodiak Island Borough to 541, 224 cases. That's 224 cases are classified as active locally. To date, locally, there have been a total number of 19 hospitalizations and two deaths associated with COVID-19 in the Kodiak Island Borough. Six patients are currently hospitalized in Kodiak, and one patient was transported off-island yesterday for a higher level of care. The Department of Health is urging anyone who receives a positive test result to notify their own close contacts as soon as possible so individuals can quarantine without delay. The COVID-19 virus is spreading quickly in our community, so please take appropriate precautions to keep yourself and our community healthy. Since COVID-19 first arrived in Kodiak, the Emergency Operations Center has worked hard to balance physical health and economic health in Kodiak. But as Kodiak has gotten out of control in the last 2 weeks, that balance has shifted in the favor of physical health. The EOC has mandated mask use in all public businesses and limited occupancy to 25% of the capacity set by the fire marshal. Sarah Phillips of the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce says that these measures had been anticipated for some time.
Of course, there's a lot of understanding in general. You know, this is something that the small business community has expected for a little while, I think, with our case counts increasing, but that doesn't make it any less devastating.
Phillips says that it isn't easy to make one-size-fits-all solutions.
That 25% restriction, it's a tight one for a lot of our organizations here in Kodiak. It's tough to make broad, sweeping generalizations because each business is impacted very differently. For a lot of our retail businesses, some of them have gone to appointment shopping or, again, limiting that occupancy to 25%. But I can say without a doubt, every single one of our businesses has worked to make an accommodation to support local patrons.
It can be confusing and frustrating as business owners try to react to a broad environmental change, and a global pandemic is no exception. That's why Phillips is trying to help people make sense of these changes by bringing in some outside expertise.
Every Thursday at 4 o'clock, we're going to give an update for the business community. This week, I'm happy to have one of the U.S. Chamber representatives coming to speak. So it just gives an opportunity. We know that there was a lot of misinformation being spread throughout the community, and we wanted to make sure all of our business owners could be on the same page. You know, what do mandates really mean, and how does that actually impact your business? Because again, like I've said, each of these businesses are unique. This is not a one-size-fits-all model.
She says there's a lot the rest of the community can do to help out.
It's not just shopping local. It's please be understanding of our business owners and their employees. If they ask you to wear a mask in their store, that's because there's a public mandate. So please don't give them a hard time. We're trying to get word out that to all of our businesses that, yes, there are exceptions to that mask mandate and to be educated on that. But in general, it's not just about shopping. It's about showing that Kodiak camaraderie that we love so much about our community.
Those interested in learning more can do so in the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce's Facebook page, where Phillips hosts weekly business updates every Thursday at 4 p.m. Alaska is headed into its darkest time of year with an unsettling look for the COVID-19 pandemic. Steeply rising case numbers and deaths are hitting new highs. Now, though, we have some good news. The first doses of COVID-19 vaccine could be here as soon as next week. Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media has the story.
State health officials announced Alaska's first batch of vaccine at a media briefing Monday. 35,000 doses from drug company Pfizer that could start being injected into people's arms as soon as next week. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink's analogy is that we're like a pilot at the end of a flight who can finally see the runway.
It's kind of like landing a plane. I think it's going to be a turbulent couple months. There's a lot going on with a lot of cases and a lot of hospital capacity, but the end is in sight, and this is a huge tool in our toolbox.
State officials say the initial shipment should be enough to cover several of the groups prioritized in what's known as Phase 1A of the vaccine distribution. Frontline healthcare workers, residents and staff at long-term care centers like nursing homes, community health aides, and emergency medical responders. While it will likely be months before the vaccine can be given to broader groups of people, Zink says even the limited numbers in the first batch, which is enough for about 5% of Alaska's population, will still have broad effects.
So if we're able to protect people in long-term care facilities from getting seriously ill from COVID, then we're able to kind of pull off all of the testing that we're doing there and the PPE and be able to pull that out and be able to reallocate it to other critical infrastructure workers into schools.
Alaska faces extra challenges in delivering the Pfizer vaccine because doses have to be kept at an extremely cold temperature, which could make it difficult to reach recipients in remote areas. Officials say they hope to target those people with another vaccine made by a company called Moderna that has less rigorous handling needs and should arrive not long after the Pfizer version. In the Southwest Alaska hub community of Bethel, travel provider YKHC is expecting to get 1,000 vaccines that it will keep in an ultra-cold freezer borrowed from the University of Alaska. Then doses will be loaded into coolers and flown on chartered planes that will go from village to village, says Incident Commander Jim Sweeney.
It's go out, coordinate with the people there. They come out to the runway, we inject them, and then we take off and go to the next place and do the same thing all over again.
Beyond logistics, another challenge is convincing Alaskans to take the vaccine. At a hearing earlier Monday, Zink fielded a barrage of questions about its safety and efficacy from state senators like Republican David Wilson of Wasilla.
We've heard from a couple of constituents that want to know, is the vaccine any way going to alter a person's DNA?
Thank you for that question. No, the vaccine will not alter your DNA. So the way that your cells work, the DNA is then transcribed into RNA that then makes proteins. This messenger RNA cannot get into the nucleus or the mitochondria where DNA lives.
For the healthcare providers that are being hit with an onslaught of COVID-19 patients, the vaccine news feels like a light at the end of the tunnel. But they also can't look past what they're dealing with right now, said Jared Kosin, who runs a trade group representing Alaska hospitals and nursing homes. Kosin's members are also concerned about getting employees on board with taking the vaccine, since many of them will be the first in line to get it. Because it will be approved on an emergency basis, providers won't be able to require people to take the COVID-19 vaccine in the same way they do for the flu, Kosin says.
I am hearing from kind of a human perspective that there's just anxiety about being in the front lines and being the first ones to do this. I think the onus is on us to all make sure that clean, correct, scientific information is getting out there. And all that information points to this vaccine being safe and effective so far.
Federal regulators are expected to approve the Pfizer vaccine for emergency use as early as Friday. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
The Alaska State Troopers are suspending the search for two Haines residents who went missing after a massive landslide destroyed their home on Beach Road.
Local business leader David Simmons and his tenant Janae Larson, a kindergarten teacher in town, have been missing since Wednesday's landslide on Beach Road. At a meeting Sunday evening, Alaska State Trooper Nick Zito said that groups who assisted in the search, such as Juneau Mountain Rescue and the Sea Dogs, would be leaving the area.
So we've sent back a lot of those resources because we've exhausted them. There's not really much more that we could use them for.
Zito said the weather has been a huge impediment to the search. Teams have been able to fly over the debris pile and comb the beaches, but the slide has been too unstable to search on foot. According to a statement from the Alaska State Troopers, active search operations were suspended due to continued rain and the likelihood of additional landslides in the area. Ground searchers left by boat today. New evidence or information could change things, but for now, the search is over. In a prepared statement, Haines Mayor Douglas Olrud told the community it was more than likely that Larson and Simmons are deceased and that they cannot risk losing additional lives by putting search and rescue personnel on the slide.
I do want to thank everyone that has come together to support the community Haines, and especially the family and loved ones of Janae and David. While we deal with the aftermath of this immense tragedy, we would like to thank all of the resources which immediately came to the aid of the Haines Borough.
Jeremy Larson, the brother of Janae Larson, thanked the community of Haines for supporting his family.
We just want to thank everybody for taking their time, and it's been really humbling to see this kind of turnout and all these people here that care about my little sister. You can't really prepare for this at all. But having these people in our corner are going to make the next weeks, months, years a lot more bearable.
The Alaska Department of Public Safety has added Simmons and Larson to the Alaska Missing Persons Clearinghouse list. One sergeant with the troopers will stay in town and help with disaster relief. Members of the Coast Guard will remain in the area as well. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
Yakutat reported its first case of coronavirus in more than 6 weeks on Monday. The person who tested positive has symptoms, and the Yakutat Community Health Center believes they contracted the virus locally, according to a press release issued by the Yakutat Incident Command. Contact tracing is still underway. The center is organizing a free community testing day and will release information when it's available. This brings the total number of reported cases in Yakutat to 11, of which only one is considered active. The last case was reported on October 22nd. The Kuprianoff Island village of Cake also reported 5 new cases of the coronavirus in the last 2 weeks, according to the data released by CIRHIC. That brings their total case count to 26.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. A tech-savvy Homer company creates a better way to sell seafood. More on Wild Alaskans' mission after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute works to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. Learn more at alaskaseafood.org.
Many Alaska fishermen or groups who are marketing boxes of seafood directly can boast several hundred monthly subscribers. The Wild Alaskan Company, based in Homer, has notched more than 140,000 seafood lovers nationally since 2018. And since COVID hit, it's adding up to 200 customers every day. Founder Aaron Kallenberg calls it a three-generation overnight success, referring back to 1926, when his grandfather moved from New Jersey to Bristol Bay.
My dad grew up fishing with my grandfather. I grew up fishing with my father. But that being said, I was the nerdy kid that took his laptop out to sea in Bristol Bay.
Kallenberg went on to work in the internet field for nearly 2 decades. A few years ago, he opted to walk away and create a tech-enabled marketing and logistics company to sell Alaska seafood. It now puts 40 people to work.
We have the ability through social media and digital-based data-driven advertising to attract members to the membership service. And we have an incredible amount of proprietary software that manages a very complex nationwide frozen fulfillment network.
Wild Alaskan sources seafood from across the state, and the mix of frozen portions is dictated by supply. It's sent to what will soon be 7 fulfillment centers across the U.S.
The flexibility that the software provides us allows us to really decentralize this supply-driven model, you know, in different regions of the United States.
Reducing the carbon footprint from shipping is a goal of what Kallenberg calls his mission-based company.
Our mission is to accelerate humanity's transition to sustainable food systems, and I believe that Alaska can set an example globally. But that's a core principle of Wild Alaskan.
Find links at AlaskaFishRadio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon, and welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 8th day of December, the year 2020. Sun rose at 9:40 this morning, and it won't set again until 4:23 this afternoon, giving us 6 hours and 42 minutes of precious daylight hours. That is a loss of a mere 1 minute and 55 seconds compared to yesterday. Looking at our local tides, we have a low tide coming up at 2:02 p.m. here on the east side. That will be a 3.1-foot tide, followed by a high tide at 7:49 p.m. of 6.7 feet, and our next low tide will be at 2:13 a.m. of 1.2 feet. Over on the west side, and these are Euganic Pass tides, you have a low tide coming up at 2:46 p.m. of 4.6 feet, followed by a high tide at 8:37 p.m. of 11.7 feet. Your next low tide will be at 3 a.m. of 2.7 feet on the west side. 29 degrees currently in Kodiak. Pretty nice out there. We're looking for scattered snow showers for tonight with an overnight low around 28. South winds from might go to 30 miles per hour. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, high near 36, west winds to 15 miles per hour. For Wednesday night, we're looking for partly cloudy skies, low around 21, west wind to 15 miles per hour on Wednesday. And for Thursday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 29, and those west winds are going to continue 10 miles per hour, becoming light and northwest in the afternoon on Thursday. Mariners, here is your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A low pressure will persist over the northern Gulf through Tuesday night. Then a front will enter the western Gulf Tuesday night, reaching the central Gulf Wednesday morning. Your resulting weather for Kodiak's offshore on the east side, Marmot Island to Sitkanak, gale warning through tonight. Southwest winds to 35 knots right now, seas to 15 feet. For Wednesday, look for west winds to 25 knots and seas coming down to 11 feet. Over on the west side in the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory through Wednesday. Southwest winds to 25 knots today, seas building to 9 feet this afternoon. For tonight, look for southwest 25, seas to 8 feet with freezing spray in the Shelikof. And for Wednesday, look for west winds to 25 knots, seas to 7 feet, and freezing spray in the Shelikof. Inside waters, Chiniak and Marmot Bays. For Chiniak Bay, we have a small craft advisory through tonight. Southwest winds to 15 knots will become south 25 this afternoon. Seas will build to 4 feet this afternoon. For tonight, we're looking for south winds to 30 knots and seas to 5 feet in Chiniak Bay. And for tomorrow, look for southwest winds to 15 knots, seas coming on down to 2 feet. In Marmot Bay, small craft advisory through tonight. Southwest winds to 15 knots will become south 25 knots this afternoon. Seas building to 6 feet tonight. For tomorrow, look for southwest winds to 15 knots and seas to 3 feet. Well, it's a live premiere of Dolly Parton's The Library That Dolly Built, celebrating the people who made Dolly's dreams come true. It's happening exclusively via Facebook Live. It's happening tomorrow at 3 p.m. It's a conversation with and acoustic performance by Dolly Parton herself during this free live stream event. sponsored by Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary with their 150 millionth book. For more information, contact Heather Farksworthy with the Kodiak Imagination Library at 539-5443. That's Facebook Live tomorrow, 3 p.m. If you have not yet applied for your water and sewer utility relief $500 credit, time is running out. It's extended until December 15th. And if you are a water and sewer customer, you should go to the city's website where you will find the Water and Sewer Utility Relief Fund form. It's easy to fill out. And if you had any financial repercussions from COVID-19, you are eligible. Well, it's the last weekend for the Kiwanis tree sales. It's happening Friday, Saturdays, and Sunday, assuming they have some trees left. On Fridays, it's 4 to 7 p.m. For Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And for Sundays, noon to 4 p.m. And, of course, that's happening at 111 Bartell Avenue, the Worldwide Movers Building on the cutoff road between Mill Bay and Rizanoff. Special thanks to Mattson and Worldwide Movers for bringing the trees in. Kodiak City Council will hold a work session tonight. The meeting will begin at 7:30 p.m., and elected officials will be participating via audio, video conferencing, and maybe a few in person. Public members are encouraged to tune into this station, KMXT 100.1 FM. It's a virtual work session for everyone's protection. There will be no in-person attendance. And for more information, call the clerk's office at 486-8636. Work session agendas and packets are always available online at the city's website. We encourage members of the public to email their comments to clerks@city.kodiak.ak.us, or you can call for comment during the work session at 486-8610. Again, the clerk's office number is 8636. In addition to that, the Kodiak City Council will be holding their regular council meeting on Thursday. This meeting will also begin at 7:30 p.m. and be held the same way via audio-video teleconferencing. It will also be broadcast here on KMXT Thursday at 7:30 p.m. That number for the clerk's office again is 486-8636. The number to call in for comment is 486-8610. A reminder from the borough, effective yesterday at 8 a.m., all Kodiak Island businesses and activities, including all retail and service types, indoor recreational activities, bars, restaurants, religious gatherings, grocery, and any business or service that is open to the public is now restricted to 25% customer capacity. This capacity is calculated from the business fire marshal occupancy load. Each business and facility is encouraged to use COVID-19 mitigation measures and, whenever reasonable, to use online shopping, appointment shopping, curbside service, takeout orders, indoor dining and bars may remain open. However, strict social distancing is required, and the mask mandate remains in effect. Exceptions to the capacity restriction include medical facilities, travel for critical personal need or essential service, child care services, homeless shelters, educational institutions, government agencies, and critical infrastructure services such as public utility services. Seafood processors shall operate under the state-required mandates. Just a reminder to all mariners, you're expected to self-quarantine 14 days from time of arrival if you have traveled by plane, and 14 days from the date of departure if you traveled by boat. If you need to get a hold of the harbor master, they are on VHF channel 16 or channel 12, or you can call them at 486-8080. Well, the launch window is officially open. Alaska Aerospace has put out their public safety announcement. They expect to be conducting rocket launch operations between the 7th and the 18th. Launch windows will be between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. local time. The following restrictions coordinate with the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Services and the Alaska Department of Natural Resources will be enforced on launch day, including the closing of the Pisagshack Road immediately east of Mile 10. The Sagshack roadblock will be manned prior to opening the launch window and will initially function as a checkpoint for authorized traffic. The Sagshack roadblock will be the furthest point on the road to PSCA that the public can travel once the area is secured. The Passaic Shack roadblock is positioned so that vehicle traffic can easily and safely turn around. All non-launch associated vehicles and personnel not directly associated with the launch will be cleared from the area beyond the Passaic Shack roadblock approximately 3 hours prior to the launch to ensure public safety. And again, that window is already open. It's expected to go through to the 18th, and the times that they expect to be launching is between 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. with that three-hour buffer window.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.